Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
we are The View for sports fans. I'm the Whoopi Goldberg of sports.
How about that?
Because guess what? Friday night's still happening.
It is? What?
Yeah.
Ricky says hi. Ricky agrees.
He knows.
It's the Rod Peterson Show.
We set sail on hour two of the RP show, everybody. Facebook Live only. Said goodbye to our Game Plus TV audience, but it was a big hour one. Gary Lawless checking in from Las Vegas, and Kelly Rudy and producer Clark mixing up their time. So Rudes will be with us tomorrow. You see on your screens, for those that are watching, Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, in the bunker. How you doing, Remps?
Fantastic. Beautiful day. Beautiful.
Isn't it? And we're stuck inside. Even DuPont said it would be nice to be out on a patio somewhere doing the show. One day.
Well, where's Paulie Drouin when you need him?
Where is Paul? Working, as he reminded me yesterday. This is hilarious. I know you would have liked to have seen the infamous Paul, but the show is over yesterday, and it is our post-show meeting. And Paul pulls out his phone and goes, oh, the premier of Manitoba said they're going to commit $2.5 million to the hub city. What do you guys think about that? I'm like, we just talked about it for 2 hours. Which was that was everybody's reaction. We all kind of, Paul didn't find it as funny. Anyways, we'll get to the quick six show topics, but our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is watching. Smitty, two-time Grey Cup champion. He says, Kelly Rempel coming up. The Silver Fox. Yeehaw!
Nicest guy I know.
Hashtag go Vikes.
Yes.
I had a guy write me on Facebook, Rems, and he goes, how long do you think the Vikings name will last in this time of Redskins, Eskimos, blah, blah, blah? And I said, well, I can't see that changing of all the names. And the guy wrote me back and said, well, those were pretty rough and tumble, like offensive people. I'm like, the Vikings? This would be a first. The football team will change its name because they're offended of the group that they were named after. Isn't that kind of got backwards?
Yeah, no, but I don't. That's one I think that's pretty safe because I don't think Viking is in any way racially charged.
Not really.
You know, that's what they were called. That's what they were. That's undisputable. They haven't become three other versions of Vikings since. Like we. You know, it's morphed from referring to people, Aboriginal First Nations people, from Indians to Natives to First Nations to Aboriginal. And it's now, you know, what they used to call them 20, 30, 40 years ago is now considered to be completely politically incorrect. But Viking hasn't morphed from Viking to anything else. That's what they were, period.
I'd have to go check my messages. I'd have to look really deep, but I laughed out loud when the guy said, well, the Vikings, they were a pretty rank group of people.
That's how crazy it's become, is now people are questioning every single team and whether or not, you know, it's politically correct or incorrect. I mean, Vikings, that doesn't even throw up any kind of a
fight. You wouldn't think, but you never know, right?
But sharks have eaten people. Does that mean that San Jose might have to change the name of their team?
You've thought about this, haven't you?
It's too much. When does too much become too much?
While Rems takes a drink of water, Jordan, let's come back around on our quick six show topics. What do you say? And then we'll get Kelly's take on all these. Number one, bidding war has erupted to be the CFL hub city. Will it save football in Canada in 2020? Some say yes, some say no. Point two, the NFL has proposed no preseason games to the players because the players did put up a stink on Sunday, a day before some were due to report for training camp. The NFL saying, okay, we'll meet you halfway, no preseason games. And they think this might appease the players because it's about safety. Point three, the Norris candidates were announced yesterday. They were Washington's John Carlson, Tampa's Victor Hedman, and Nashville's Roman Yossi. Today, the Hart finalists were announced, and it just came down. Neon Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers, Nathan MacKinnon of the Avalanche, and Artemi Panarin of the Rangers. We've got Neon Leon to win out of that. Point four, the Blue Jays are homeless, and we don't know for how long that will continue. Point five, the CEBL, Canadian Elite Basketball League, which features the Saskatchewan Rattlers, opens their national tournament this Saturday. A doubleheader on CBC. You can watch it. Niagara versus Hamilton, Ottawa versus Guelph. Saskatchewan opens their tournament Sunday versus Niagara. You can watch that on CBC Gem, 11:30 a.m. Mountain. And it is week 7 of the CFL Sim season. Computer-generated games, which last night, I think were over 50,000 views on these games. It's unbelievable, the popularity of it. Week 7 in the normal CFL would be this. Montreal at BC, Edmonton at Ottawa, Hamilton at Calgary, and Touchdown Atlantic featuring Saskatchewan versus Toronto. That's our daily poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. And Argos Riders is the runaway leader, which tells me Thursday night, 7 p.m. Mountain, will be broadcasting the game on Facebook Live with Doug Flutie's Maximum Football. Okay, so through all that preamble, Remps, which one jumps out at you?
You pick.
CFL, why not?
Okay.
Because we're in season for
that.
That
big hot topic, hey?
Oh, yeah. Do you think, I guess the easiest is to ask if you think they're going to play.
If I have to say yes or no, I'm going to say no.
Really?
Yeah. I would say the likeliest scenario would be you know, like a half a season or something like that. But I thought that for a long, long time. But the longer and longer and longer and longer that it goes, the more I sat yesterday, started thinking, okay, so Labor Day would be about the halfway mark. And we're getting so close to that now that unless you have a plan in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even that's off the table. So at what point do you say it just doesn't make any sense to, like, does having a six-game season as an example, like, is there even any point?
Well, they're going to do it if they do it. I mean, look at baseball. You're a huge baseball fan.
Yeah, I like
60 games is an embarrassment, but they're doing it.
Yeah, but 60 is still 60. Right? 4 or 5. Like, I would just say, why bother? Just reboot and come back the following season. This is my opinion. If you could get it done by Labor Day and you could still have a, you know, an 8 or a 9 or a 10 game schedule, I thought, you know what? It's a pretty small sample size, but it's half a season. But when you're getting into a quarter of a season or a half of a season and you only had, like, say 18 to begin with, I don't know. Like, even 60 is still 60, right? It's 162 games, and yes, 60 is a small number, relatively speaking, but you were starting with 162. But when you're starting at 18 and now you're down to a third of the year and playing 5 or 6 games, like, what's the point? That's kind of what I'm thinking.
And hey, there are no bad takes. All opinions matter around here.
Yeah.
But Dave Naylor of TSN tweeting yesterday, there are 4 critical points to the CFL's return to play. Let's see if I can remember them. 1, finding a hub city. Well, 2 cities have volunteered already, so that's taken care of. 2, the CBA being agreed to by the players, or the proposal being agreed to by the players. And I think we all think, as upset as the players might be about the money, they will vote in favor of playing. 3, federal money from Ottawa, which I think they're going to get. Enough to pick up the tab on all this. And 0.4, TSN agreeing to carry the games, because that contract's a write-off for the year, too. I think all 4 of those things will happen. But the serious things are the health and safety, getting guys in, quarantining the Americans in time, finding the appropriate amount of players. That's the one
that are willing thing. To play.
Yes. Finding guys that are willing to play, and are you eligible to play? Do you have the paperwork? Mm-hmm. Do you not have coronavirus? Are you willing to stay in a bubble for 6 weeks? If they can do all those things, Kelly, then they'll play. That's a hell of a lot of ifs. I'm sitting here today saying my gut's telling me they're going to play. Maybe it's just because I want it so bad.
Yeah.
For my friends, and I miss the football. My head's saying no.
Well, I would like it. Like, don't get me wrong.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I want it to happen. But when you start to say, if this star perfectly lines up with this one, and that star lines up perfectly with this one, and 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 all of these stars that, by the way, as of today, are all over the frickin' place, But we want to get them all lined up in a perfect row. Oh, and we've got about a month. So we've had 3 months, and we're really no closer than we were.
4 months, really.
I just
can't see it.
I can't.
Leo Ezrins,
I hope I'm wrong.
Leo Ezrins is watching in Hamilton. He is the executive director of the CFL Alumni Association. He says, out of sight, out of mind, no season, fans will find other ways to spend their dollars. A real problem. Well, I think so, but you've seen Arash Madani say that's not true. You see Dave Naylor say that's not true. And I really believe the CFL deep thinkers think that's not true. I guess we'll find out. I mean, I learned last summer how to live without the CFL. This summer, even more so. I mean, you follow what I've been doing, Kelly. The racing, not to mention the golfing, the water skiing, all the stuff we've been doing. You know yourself, it's habit forming.
Yeah.
And people that, by the way, have gotten away from buying season tickets for the Riders over the last few years, got nothing to do with the pandemic. It's all about where you put your money.
Yeah.
Not everybody has unlimited money, as you know. Actually, not many do.
You know, it's funny because Sam Cosentino, our good friend, and
the whitest teeth in broadcasting.
Yeah, and a good man. We were having a chat about a month or so ago about junior hockey. And we were talking about, and I know we're going to go down this road a little bit
great
later.
Great segue, if that's what you're doing.
But he and I were having the same conversation, and we were kind of doing like a back and forth. And so it's like, which is the more likely of the two scenarios psychologically to a sports fan? Is it that if you took a year of junior hockey away or a year of CFL away, could be either. Does that make somebody less likely to come back the following year if it restarts because, well, they got out of the habit of going, kind of like what Leo's saying. I've gone a whole year without the CFL or the WHL in my life, and I've learned how to spend my money doing other things. Or is the opposite true? You've taken something that you absolutely love away that you probably took for granted for a long, long time.
Makes you love it more.
And then when it finally comes back, now it's like, I'm never going to make that mistake again. Because I have a dear friend, and she told me that she said she will never, ever contemplate on going to a Rider game ever again. The next time that she's thinking about going, she's going every single time. Because
she's missing it so much.
She's missing it, and it's like we've all taken it for granted. So I was like, do I want to go? Do I not want to go? She said, never again. I'm taking my kids to every game that we can go to.
So, I'll believe that when I see it, too. But because the tickets, by the way... that's one person. I would say mine's different. I got a house full of tradesmen right now. All kinds of renovations that we're doing. And I come home and...
You too?
Oh, yeah. You too?
It's starting next week.
And us guys like to talk sports, right? So I'm getting all kinds of opinions from these guys. And some of them are saying, this name thing's turning me off. I'm not going to watch NFL. I'm sick of the Redskins thing. I'm sick of... That's just one guy, you know? But they're turned off by labor negotiations in the past, labor stoppages. I know. I would say more people get turned off by what's going on in their sport and they go and find other things to do. And I will say this too, by the way, I'm not saying everybody needs to become the biggest fan of auto racing or motorsports, but we went out to the track on the weekend. I don't know if you saw the footage and the stuff that we did. It was like mini NASCAR.
You and Fiaco.
Yeah, $5 at the door, and the concession was Greek ribs like the Four Seasons.
Oof.
Deep fried pierogies, you know, poutine.
Yeah.
For $4. It's not going to your local big time arena and paying $17 for a beer like they do in Vegas.
I know.
Or $22 for a hot dog like you do at Mosaic Stadium. So my point is, if you start to get in the habit of going to the cheaper things and actually realizing how great it is, this isn't a slam at the CFL, it's a slam at all pro sports that have just had their hands way too deep in their fans' pockets for far too long.
Yep.
And I still don't think they're getting the message that you need to back off from that. I think the whole pandemic's a huge message on you guys are out of control, but they're not getting the message. You know, and I think what we're learning in the pandemic is less is more. The junior hockey, people are going to appreciate that because it's affordable. How many times have I said, maybe you haven't heard it, but
people... Our Red Sox game.
$10. But people here, and I know them, would rather go to Edmonton for a weekend and get the hotels, go to the mall, go to the orders, and pay $4,000 or whatever, maybe $5,000 for one weekend, then buy season tickets for the whole year in your local junior team. Right? Maybe what's happening here will change people's mindset on
that.
Could
be.
Go to Winnipeg for a Jets weekend or whatever. That's all that I'm noticing. And sorry to go off on my tangent because I brought you here to talk about this and you or your thoughts. And you notice I'm writing on the dub on the Pats and the Warriors. Do you think they're going to play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No oh, good. No on question. Time?
I don't know about on time, but here's what I've learned and here's what I believe is going to happen. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, usually, okay? And I believe that from everything that I have heard from people, and I'm not talking about the guy I bumped into at Tim's, I'm talking about people in the league that are knee-deep in this stuff, that have told me that there is a real appetite to get this season going.
From who? From themselves.
Like the league is, Ron Robinson and all of the commissioners throughout the Canadian Hockey League are 1,000% committed to having hockey this year. There are challenges, obviously. For example, in the WHL, you've got teams in Washington and Oregon where their pandemic meter, okay, is flickering in the red all the time. It's a completely different situation down there. We're pretty lucky here in Manitoba and Saskatchewan and even in Alberta, for example. We don't see the really nasty stuff politically or, you know, with the virus.
Yeah.
But in the States, as you know, I mean, unless you haven't been watching news, I mean, it's rampant down there. So there's a challenge there. So are they going to have to do things like have the American teams play in hub cities in BC? Or are they going to have smaller Abbotsford or Chilliwack?
If I may interrupt you, by the way, viewer John Federico says, Rod, what about the American team travel factor into Canada? So over to you on that. I've been reading some wild things. Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
Well, the bottom line, though, is, yeah, I mean, it's going to be very difficult to do the traveling across the border all the time. So are you going to have your American teams playing in BC? And logistically, what's that going to look like? So that's one example. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not a genius, but I know this. There's no way that these teams are going to have like regular training camps with 80 kids.
No,
there's no way.
They're talking 30. I've heard
30, except well, your source might be the same as mine. Who knows? Cause that's the number I heard is that, you know, you're going to have your 26, 27, 28 guys or whatever that number is that are legitimately in your mind fighting for a spot. And they'll compete for the 24 or 25 spots. It's not going to be the 15 and 16-year-olds, you know, are going to be at the camps.
A veteran, more laden camp. The team's picked basically by the time you open camp.
Pretty much.
We're going to break. Like one last thing. I was reading an article today out of Ontario, and we do have a lot of viewers out there. But I couldn't believe this. Of the Ontario Junior A Hockey League, and all the various Junior A and Junior B leagues and Major Junior in Ontario. There's a lot of guys play hockey down there, Cal. There's like three American teams in the OHL. There's like four in the Ontario Junior Hockey League. And they're talking about just having the Americans play within each other cross-league. And when I read that, I'm like, oh my. You can't have that. You can't have Major Junior playing Junior A playing Junior B. Just because it would be... Can't do
who
that.
Who came up? Who? Yeah, I can't see that.
I think it was a writer. Benjamin Genaway writes and he says, I just hope Connor Bedard gets to play his first season. You and me both. I think we can put Rems in on that as well. We all want to see him. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Lots of topics on the table. It's a great coffee discussion today. And Andrew Walker coming up from Sportsnet 650, The Fan Vancouver. This is Canada's daytime sports talk show, the RP show, and we'll be right back on Game Plus TV. Also, Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG, always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
More with Kelly Rempel coming up, plus Andrew Walker of Sportsnet 650 Vancouver. But first, a sports update. The NHL says two players tested positive for COVID-19 during the first week of training camps. The league said in a release that 2,618 tests were completed on more than 800 players. The two players that tested positive are currently in self-isolation. The NHL is scheduled to enter Phase 4 on August 1st when teams return to play in the hub cities of Edmonton and Toronto. While fishing and golfing have occupied the free time of many NBA players at Walt Disney World, Raptors coach Nick Nurse hasn't ventured far from his gym or his hotel room. Less than a week away from playing their first real basketball in more than 4 months, Nurse is spending most of his downtime studying game film. The Raptors play the Houston Rockets on Friday in their first of three scrimmages and their first real action since their last game March 9th in Utah before the NBA shuttered 2 days later because of COVID-19. The Raptors open the 8-game seeding round versus the Lakers on August 1st. And the Blue Jays closed up shop in Toronto on Monday to begin a most unusual road trip. 60 games the regular season that won't include a single visit to Rogers Centre. The federal government's weekend decision not to allow Jays games in Toronto this summer meant a brief summer training camp would be the lone taste of home for the Blue Jays, who were to depart Monday night for two preseason games in Boston ahead of Friday's opener at Tampa Bay. Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins called the situation a moving target regarding to where the Jays will play their home games. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon, where it's Taco Tuesday. Chicken tacos feature for just $13.99 all day. See you at Wendell's. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, for the month of July, all seven flavors available in the variety pack for just $20. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. Ship direct to home with free shipping. Back to Rems here in the bunker, and we got Andrew Walker coming up. We covered the CFL. We covered the junior hockey. Let me say this to the CFL quarantine city thing. The CEBL's doing it with basketball, pro basketball. We got soccer pulling it off. NBA, no cases.
Isn't that something?
Well, why couldn't the CFL then? And kudos to the players and the leagues for administering it properly.
Yeah, I agree. But they seem to have their ducks in order, and our commissioner does not.
Yeah.
So I mean, I probably am being a little harsh on the guy. But, I mean, you've had all this time to kind of come up with a plan, and it just seems to me that the communication level between the players and the commissioner is almost non-existent. You got every player that I've seen. I haven't heard one good report. And you are running out of time. Like, so, I mean, you're just now starting, we're getting into this, like, the hub cities thing and all that. It's like, shouldn't this have been something that would have been done, like, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago?
Well, they tell me Andrew Walker is ready, so just one second. I'll say this, Rems, on that. I don't know when they announced the July 23rd deadline, why it was going to take so long. Would it not take 24 to 48 hours? It was 3 weeks at least the players had to decide. Now, I'm sure there's a reason, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because the league leaders aren't doing any interviews. The only guy is Braley, really, that's been visible in all of this. So the CFL, they don't want to do interviews. They're all so secret. And they've become a huge secret. But again, there's got to be a reason why they gave 3 weeks for the players to decide. It shouldn't take that long, right? You would have thought they'd have had a 3-week jump on this. But we don't know what that reason is. It's their business. Let's go to Vancouver now, and the pride of Beaubier, Saskatchewan, Andrew Walker joining us. How you doing, Wax? Good to see you, my friend.
Good. You too. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing good, and of course, you know the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel. Of all the topics that we've been covering and so forth, Wax, what strikes your fancy today, whether it's the Canucks or the CFL return? What's on your mind?
Well, I heard you guys talk about the CFL, and listen, I know it takes money, I know it takes planning, and I'm not a I don't know all the logistics or the I'm not a politician. I really think it's not going to be something that the CFL is going to be able to pull off. That's just my initial thought on this. I mean, right now in Vancouver, we're super focused on the NHL's return to play and the playoffs coming up. And I think people are getting really excited. I think it's going to be really interesting because we have all the sports happening at once, right? You were kind of outlining some of that, but you got the Blue Jays first game on Friday. You got, you know, big Raptors game on August the 1st against the Lakers. And then you're going to have one exhibition game in hockey and going right into do or die games. We haven't had sports, guys, for almost, you know, going on 5 or 6 months. And we're going to have all of a sudden everything. It's going to be an overdose.
Well, so having said all that, I'm sitting down on my computer today and I got an absolute buffet of things to read about the NFL training camps opening, all the things. You didn't even say NFL, right? Of all the other things you mentioned.
Yeah.
So how fatal could it be for the CFL to not play this season? I mean, I think it's a huge problem if they don't, but your buddy and mine, Arras, doesn't agree. Naylor doesn't agree. I mean, speak for Vancouver, the sports scene, if the Lions didn't play this year, how devastating that would be.
Yeah, it's so much about money and financials. Does missing a league absolutely, or missing a season, does it cripple the league? Is this, and you would know better than me, is this league a huge moneymaker? Or is it just, you know, Canadiana, almost a hobby for a lot of these markets? They could miss a year and then restart and be fine? Or is this the beginning of the end of the CFL as we know it?
I'm waiting for your answer on that. Because
I don't know, man. I don't know either. It's tough.
Hey, where are you, by the way? It looks awesome. It looks like you're on the set of Animal Kingdom from Netflix or something. Are you just outside your apartment?
Yeah, no, I have a, yeah, it's I have palm trees that Vancouver is. This is why the CFL isn't big here, because palm trees grow here. I don't know. No, I'm just on my patio. I've lived here basically the last 4 or 5 months, trying to be semi social responsible and staying away from the beach and too many public areas. We're still doing the shows from home. We might be going back into studio here when the Canucks are playing for real. But I've been kind of living out here in the trees. That's for sure.
Andrew, I'm wondering sometimes if maybe we're all not at times looking at this almost backwards. I hear a lot of players and a lot of people talk about, well, Vancouver, what's going to happen in Vancouver if they don't play? Or what's going to happen in Toronto if there's no CFL? Is it going to cripple the league? But they don't care about football there now. Is it not a bigger concern as to what would be the psychology in Winnipeg or Edmonton or Calgary or Regina? Or I guess what I'm trying to say is that are we that worried about markets where the interest level is so low now that are we focusing our attention in the wrong places?
I would agree with that. I think that in terms of football markets aren't changing, right? You know that. Regina's always going to love it. You're not going to fall out of love with the sport. Same with Winnipeg, same with Calgary, same with Edmonton. Everywhere else is very much an Ottawa. Throw Ottawa and Hamilton in there too. Everyone else is just such a fair weather kind of thing. Like let's say, okay, worst case scenario, let's say this is the end of the CFL as we know it. Once something restarts again, and I have no idea what that would be, but Regina would be fine. Winnipeg would be fine, right? Like the market is always going to be strong. But you're right, we can't be making concessions to places like Vancouver or Toronto. You're right, because at the end of the day, it's not rooted in this love of anything or love of Canadiana or the CFL or whatever it is. It just doesn't make sense.
Wax, our viewers want to know what jersey you're wearing right now. They can only see the collar.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. This is a Vancouver Canadiens jersey. They are the Blue Jays rookie ball affiliate. Unfortunately, like a lot of leagues, they just had their season completely canceled, like most of minor league baseball. But it is... and, you know, that'll go to show you a lot, too. People here seem to get more passionate about Canadians single-A baseball sometimes than the Canadian Football League, which is too bad. But they got a gem of a park, Nat Bailey Stadium. You can put about 6,000 or 7,000 people in there, and it's sold out every game when the season's actually on.
What does it hold?
I think 6 or 7, I think, at capacity. Maybe a little less.
All right. Jeremy Knight, you know him from the Blue Jays Care Foundation. He's a Vancouver kid. He worked for the Canadiens, as I believe. He says, what is Andrew's favorite interaction from somebody thinking he's the Hallmark Channel Andrew Walker? Clearly, there's a story behind that I don't know what it is. Tell us.
Yeah, I could have lied. I could have told you I was on the set of a Hallmark movie. So there is a Canadian actor named Andrew Walker who... is of Hallmark fame. He does all those Hallmark movies. And I don't want to say we look similar because he's a pretty good looking guy, but I guess we're both, you know, middle-aged white guys. But for years and years, I've been getting his fan mail and tweets and Instagram posts on social media, especially around Christmas time when all those Hallmark movies come out. I get a constant barrage, people thinking I'm him. And I basically, it's a kind of a bit I do. I just answer all of them. I just answer all the fan mail, and I have for years. And I finally was able to kind of meet up with the real Andrew Walker. Maybe I'm the real Andrew Walker. So he came on my show. He's a big sports fan, hoping to be an extra in one of the upcoming Hallmark movies when they start filming again.
That is fantastic. Are your arms tired, Wax? Do I have to send you a tripod out there to put your camera on when we do this? Because I don't really want to end this chat, but you look like your arms are getting sore.
Oh, sorry. Am I moving around? No, I'm good. I'm all good.
Okay, as long as you're good, then I'm happy with that. Here come all the Vancouver viewers, by the way. And they're like, oh, the Canadians comparison again, blah, blah, blah. These are the Lions fans, of course, that, I mean, you and I have had these chats, and I love what Ed Willis said about Vancouver. Former Regina Leader Post writer, now the Vancouver province. He says, Vancouverites are just their own thing, like almost a distinct society. Ed went so far as to say the Rocky Mountains are a vortex. It just cuts Vancouver, BC off from the rest of the country. You've lived in all across the country, Andrew. Is he correct in saying that? Like, you guys kind of have your own mentality out there that doesn't mesh with the rest of the country?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and I've been here 3 years, Rod, and I'm not an expert. I'm still trying to kind of learn what makes this sports market tick. And I listen, I know a lot of Lions fans watch and listen to your show, and it's difficult going down the road. Oh, like fans are crappy. I don't think Lions are crappy because fans are fans. There's not enough of them, and there's not enough of them in the kind of the downtown Vancouver core area. But people that do support a team, it's impossible to call them fans. I just don't think there's enough of them here, to be honest. But Vancouver is, when it comes to sports, it's a hipster sports market in the sense of people love jumping on if something's popular. That's it. Like, there's nothing better than when the Canucks are on a playoff run. And the Lions might have a day in the sun again. I don't know. The Whitecaps certainly did. Look no further than the Vancouver Whitecaps. They were probably 2.5-3 years ago, Alphonso Davies was here. Man, that was the biggest draw in town, for sure, because the Canucks were in the lottery. Now, they're a laughingstock. People couldn't give two craps about the Vancouver Whitecaps. So it's, you have to roll with the punches. There's ups and there's downs. In Vancouver, it's a hipster bandwagon sports town, and I don't even mean that in a negative way. It's just what it is.
Wax, let me say this before I let you go. Last point. I consider you a very close friend of mine. We go back a long ways. When we had that Twitter back and forth about how I feel the return to play, it was the match play Sunday of Tiger and Phil and Tom Brady, right? And
sure,
you got upset. Now, that was a long time ago into this thing. What is your connection to the pandemic in that you feel that sports isn't a priority, whereas I feel that it was? And do you still feel the same way?
I feel that the return of sports shouldn't be a priority if we cut corners as a society, especially medically, and putting people at risk before we get a handle on this. I think there's a lot of examples off the border where, you know, places of business for a second. Places of business and social activities and certain things are open. They're, you know, but they're being forced open. People think, oh, they're open, they must be safe. And the reality is, you know, that's not accurate. And it's a little easier for us to be cavalier here in Vancouver or in Regina or in Alberta, where, you know, transmission rates of this whole thing are lower than in most spots in the world. We're super, super lucky. I love sports, man. I get paid doing sports. You get paid doing sports. It's our life. I am concerned. At least I was concerned. I think leagues like the NHL are really going about things the right way. But for instance, I support Major League the federal government saying, no, like, Toronto Blue Jays, you can't be playing here. We can't have American teams coming in and out. I support the borders being closed, you know, things like that right now. I don't want it to be a priority. There's risk, if that makes sense.
Of course it does. And my thing on that was, I want sports to return if it's safe. Our conversation escalated rather quickly, but I view our friendship similar to mine and Rempel. You could never say anything that would upset me or turn me off. I was hoping that I didn't upset you, but I just think that a blanket, we can't play sports and we got to sit on our ass for 2 years, just isn't going to work. We can't do it. You know, so if we can get back safely, whether it be BC Hockey League, Junior A, the Vancouver Canadiens, whatever. That was all my point, and that's what I wanted to clarify. Anything else before we let you go?
Oh, no, all good. I put up with way worse stuff than that on social media. You and I are good.
All right, Walk. Stay safe, and hey, enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs.
See you guys.
He's gone. Andrew Walker of Sportsnet 650 Vancouver. Stick around one more segment with Remps if you're up to it.
Of course.
And then Dupes will be back for overtime. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Hey, Katie Fleury writing us. She says, a quick pop-in. Hi, Katie. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting all of our shows. Kelly Rempel with us. I have not tweeted the poll question, or the rock star of the day poll yet, but we got some good ones today. Gary Lawless, Kelly Rempel, Andrew Walker, and Kelly Rudy. We had a mix-up in times. He's going to be with us tomorrow in Hour 1 on the Game Plus portion of the broadcast. I do want to mention this, Rems, in the time we have left with you, and then Dupes will come back for overtime. Can you explain to me, because I'm not that brilliant, not that edumacated, why the NFL, and maybe you don't even know the answer to this, but they're saying to the players, we'll give you an olive branch here. If you guys will report for camp, we won't make you play any preseason games. Because initially it was cut to two. Mm-hmm. Now they're talking about wiping them all out and going straight to the regular season. And the Associated Press story I read this morning said this is a major step to starting the season on time. What's your read on that?
Well, for years the players have always fought to have less than four preseason right. games. They hate preseason, okay? I would argue that the young 20-year-old trying out for the team doesn't hate it because he wants a larger sample size to be able to show
and
what he can do.
And the coaches like it too.
Right. But the players that with the teeth that are voting on this thing, they don't like it. They want to keep their jobs and they don't want to take any more hits than they have to, and I get that. But my gut feeling, even though I'm not real intimate with the subject, would be that from everything that I've read and seen is that the players they don't want any more risk than they absolutely have to have
of getting coronavirus
under any circumstance. So their thinking would be if you eliminate two of the preseason games or cuz they did you're right they did propose two but now they're down to zero
yeah.
right okay so what's that? What that's probably going to do is two things. One, it will make it very difficult for a newbie to make the team, so the veterans will like that. But it will also mean that there's less physical contact, period, which will reduce everybody's risk level. And so the less games, the less interaction that there is with different people, the better, the less of a chance that there would be that anybody would get, you know...
I'm getting
it's a safety thing. But yeah. In lieu of the fact that the NBA, for example, just did their testing, as I understand it, there wasn't a single case.
For the NBA, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Major League Baseball had like three or something like that. Shh. Two or three.
Wasn't it two, Clark?
So, I thought it was two. So I think if it's done properly and it's done safely, and we haven't even talked about one thing, Rod. Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, they have the finances and the resources to do it safely, right?
Yeah.
They've got the money to you know, pay for all of it. How does the CFL, if half of your, but not half, but close to half of your players have to be flown in from the United States, quarantined, checked, all of the, like the costs associated with that, they don't have those same types of resources. So, but getting back to the NFL thing, I just think that, and it's a trend to some extent. Like, now, wait. So what? Yesterday, Russell Wilson came out. He said, my wife is pregnant. I'm not comfortable with this. Like, if you gotta start showing me that this is going to be safe. And so
I would say quarantine her. Send her to her family's for... The next, that's just me.
Yeah.
Is that insensitive? You're Russell Wilson making $35 million a year, man.
But that's going to be the hot button now. And now all the players that have been reluctant to speak up, they'll speak up now because Russell Wilson's done it, right? Like, if it's the practice roster guy, nobody's even going to report it. They're not even going to make the news. But when arguably one of the top five players in the NFL is saying, I don't know if I want to play, that's going to get their attention really fast.
And it has.
Tell you what, Russell, we'll take away the two preseason games.
All
Would
four.
That help?
The remaining
four.
Two, yeah. But you see where I'm coming from. This Russell Wilson's comments probably triggered that of what you're
no
saying.
Doubt.
Through all this, because I'm saying I think they need to get back to play, I've been called disingenuous. That's probably the meanest thing people have said about me. But
why are you disingenuous in their minds?
You
want sports to come back?
I had a guy write me, and he was very kind about it, but he said, my niece is recovering. She's in cancer treatments, and she's vulnerable. And it's selfish, disingenuous of you, and maybe selfish for you to say that the world should get back to the way it was because of her. And I said, with all due respect, I think it's disingenuous and potentially selfish of you to believe the whole world should shut down for your niece. And my mom's been through it, and we lost her to cancer. So I've been through it, believe me. But the Russell Wilson thing, isolate your pregnant wife. Nobody's going to have an issue with it. God knows you got the resources to do it. And please go play football. That is your job, and you're making $35 million a year. Now, if you don't want to, the Seahawks don't have anybody behind Russell Wilson. That's not Russell's problem. That's the Seahawks' problem. But I'm just saying, isolate the vulnerable versus the other way around.
Well, and if your mother were still alive...
I might feel differently.
You may, but you also would just accept the fact that I got to be even as careful as I've been being. I have to be even more careful now. Because if I come in contact with my mother who has cancer or who is on certain medications, apparently, you know, trigger a lot worse chances of getting the virus or dying if you had the virus, as an example, then the onus is on the family to keep themselves safe and keep the mother safe. I do think that there is a responsibility of everybody in society to sort of keep everybody safe. And that's where there's that, you know... chicken and the egg thing, whereas, you know, and I laugh sometimes and I want to get too sidetracked, but I have to laugh sometimes, Rod. You're watching CNN News and you got a group of people on there that think that if you leave your house without a mask to do anything other than buy groceries, you're a murderer. And you got another news network that think that even after all of the information and the numbers that we have, there's still nothing to see here, folks. This is a complete violation of your freedom, and it's a complete farce and a joke. And as you're just thinking, like, on both crazy ends of this political spectrum, they're both equally as insane. Why can't we sort of meet somewhere in the middle and all agree that, yes, we have to be careful? 100%. I don't see you ever saying we don't need to be careful. Of course we do. We have to be careful. We have to be respectful. We have to socially distance. We have to wash our hands. We have to be, you know, reasonable. But we can't live.
We have to live too.
We can't live like hermits and not have a life either, because the social and economic ramifications then become worse
beyond
than
crippling.
The problem itself.
The cure is worse than the disease.
So why can't we sort of agree that there's like a balance and be happy with that? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't we have sports, but just be really safe about it?
And that's what I was saying, and Walker freaked out on me. That's why I was asking for clarification. Okay, reps, this has been fun. It's been 4 months of built-up opinions,
yeah,
and we haven't even got to it all. But good to see you again.
Hey, good to see you too.
And we have for Rems a gift card from Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. We got Dupes in the chair next for overtime. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, Apple Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on there and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. I just tweeted the poll, the Rockstar poll for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. And I got to think, Darnell and Roxanne would be happy about this because they asked me to promote their new website, and I've done it not once, but now twice, Dupes.
Great.
Again, from Darnell. He puts the dar in Rockstar. Can you please mention something to the effect of check out Rockstar's brand new website powered by Direct West? There's links to both the Rod Peterson Show and the Rod Peterson Show Twitter account so viewers can vote for the Rockstar of the day. There you go. I just said to Remps, we're just so darn happy around here with how things are going with the program. And I've got it pinned to the top of my Twitter page, the Game Plus tweet that you can watch every day at 12 p.m. Eastern there. And then you click to the Game Plus website. It's got all the American cable channels that it's on.
Oh, cool.
It's like six or seven American channels.
Yeah.
And the wildest thing is the Americans that enjoy this program because of the Canadian sports talk. I never thought Canadian sports talk was all that interesting. Apparently it is.
They like it.
It's fun. It's our life.
Yeah. It's fun for us.
They like it. Yeah.
They like it. You like seeing the sports talk. It's no different than what they're talking about down there. It just comes from a different perspective. And it's a little bit different on when we're talking Canadian Football League.
Wow, yeah.
CEBL, of course. But
what do we hear a lot of? They enjoy the junior hockey coverage. They enjoy the NLL coverage. Obviously, the curling. And we're getting into the CEBL. But gosh knows, they get enough NFL.
Yeah. More than enough.
Where they are.
I know.
And I should mention this, too. From our Eastern viewers, they really like the Gary Lawlesses of the world and the Rich Sutters and the Lanny McDonalds and even the Matthew Barnabys, even though he's from Ottawa. It's just a different perspective than the daily Mitch Marner's gone to the bathroom report, which producer Clark said he quite enjoys that report. But it's just, it's the same stuff day after day after day after day. Mark Matthews in front of the MasterCard Leaf Center, like... I'd like to know why the Vegas Golden Knights find Ryan Reeves so important to their club.
Right.
And Gary answered that in the first hour.
Sure.
It's just something a little different.
Different. Variety. Right.
It's the spice of life.
Yeah.
We're the golden corral of sports talk, as we say. What have you been doing? You had a nice little break from the show there.
It was
there.
Good.
Yeah.
Had some coffee, kicked my feet up. No, I got some work done in the back. It was good.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
I see Robert Kazakov is watching from Kings Park Speedway, and they had asked us to promote their invitational. Huge event, August 9th and 10th. We're hoping to have Ricky the Iguana out there. Mascot costumes lend themselves perfectly to social distancing. Well, are you aware of that?
Well, it's like you're walking around in a hazmat suit. So he's good. He's good.
Yes. J.R. Rowley is watching in Cranbrook. He says, former Vancouver Canucks defenseman and coach Jack McElhargy has died. The Canucks confirmed the death on Monday. The Edmonton native was 68. I would have put him older than that, 68. Now, you have no idea who Jack McElhargy is, do you?
No.
And that's fine.
Before my time.
That's fine. I just remember people have compared what we do on this show a lot to Don Cherry. And these are the hockey guys that are saying this. For instance... How did we know about Eddie Shore? How did we know about, you know, Syracuse and Adirondack and all those old stories? It was Don Cherry talking about him all the time on Coach's Corner and in his books.
Yep.
And he talked about Wolfman Jack McElhargy. Don Cherry talked about him all the time. Wolfman Jack McElhargy, Vancouver Canucks legend. And that we bring up a lot of the old-time names that it just there's nobody really doing that in the sports media landscape anymore. Do you see that?
No.
Like I haven't consciously tried to do that, but it seems like that's stuff that comes up all the time.
Right. And that's the one problem with getting rid of the older demographic or the guys who have been around, the experience. We don't want to pay for experience. We don't want to pay, you know, the wages when somebody young can do the job for less money. Well, yeah, you can do the job, but can you do it well? Can you do it the same without the wealth of knowledge, the wealth of stories that comes with experience, right? You know, young guys like me can do the job. I can call games at any level and I can, you know, host a show, but I don't come with 30 years of experience in terms of telling stories and entertaining that way. So there was a ton of value in Don Cherry in those stories, even when he didn't get the details right.
Who cares?
Who cares? You know, it's sitting around the campfire with Grandpa learning about all these great people. And that's the part I think we're going to miss.
Producer Clark has put up on my monitor here a tweet from John Paddock, the general manager of the Regina Pats and a member of the AHL Hall of Fame. From John Paddock regarding Jack McElhargy, a great teammate, a leader, pound for pound, as tough as anybody. The game was better because of you. You owed the game nothing. It owed you. R.I.P. my ex-roomie. So John Paddock hit hard by the death of Jack McElhargy, or as Don Cherry called him, Wolfman Jack McElhargy. We probably better get off the air because I've just hit a second wind. John Kirby writing in from Edmonton. He says, Rod, what do you have to say to all the people that say it's not the right and proper time to have sports back? I say, thank you for your opinion. Thank you. I feel differently.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Walker. We could have gone back and forth all day, but this is what's really, when I say I got a second wind, listen, I'll keep this to 120 seconds. It's all great that you want to shut down the world for potentially 2 years, maybe. We can't have people sitting on their ass for 2 years. And it goes back to Les Lazarek's column at dubnetwork.ca about the return to sports. Return to play is all about the money. I don't believe anymore that it's all about the money. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, yes, because the owners are the only ones that stand to make any money. But in the Western Hockey League, the Junior Hockey League, Kings Park Speedway, it's about getting people together safely, getting the economy going. And these CFL players, listen, I know that I've been a lone voice in the wilderness as far as the media goes, rallying on behalf of the playoff players. But can you please have a little empathy and put yourself in their shoes that they haven't been paid since last November? Could you imagine? And I'm sure there are CFL tall foreheads and deep thinkers saying, Rod, you just don't understand. We couldn't pay everybody. We've got 80 players under contract or whatever it is. My suggestion is simply that if you're under contract to a CFL team, you are eligible for CERB, $2,000 a month like everybody else. If you're under contract, Jeff Heck doesn't have a contract. Derek Dennis doesn't have a contract. Sean Lemon doesn't have a contract. Darrell Walker doesn't have a contract. They're not eligible for CERB. If you're under contract to a CFL team, no matter if it's 75 to 80 per team, look after these guys. It's, I thought, the Canadian way. This, we're all in this together. Not as far as CFL owners are concerned. That is a bunch of bunk. See what I said about a second wind?
Yeah.
I'm done. Tomorrow on the program, can you move this up a little, Clark? We've got Kelly Rudy, Darren Bombing of TSN 1290 Winnipeg and NHL.com. And the snowman, Brian Snow, from Snowman in the Morning in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's our Panthers insider. It's going to be great.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Dupes.
Thank you.
We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, Apple Podcasts, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.